Good morning. And for me, again, it is a blessing and a privilege to be here with you all. Let's bow for a prayer. Lord, we thank you that you're here with us. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you understand our hearts, each one of us, even better than we understand. And so, Lord, I just ask again that you would speak to us with your word, and you would teach us what you desire to teach us today. Father, we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. To those of you who have an Android phone that I set up, or those of you who I've set up computers for, you'll probably recognize a photo on there that I put on pretty much any electronic device that I do, is one of the photos that I took years ago in Nicaragua. It's a picture of a sloth hanging in a tree. And that sloth was the only one that I've ever, you know, had the chance of being real up close with. Now, interestingly enough, if a sloth and a dog tangle, pretty much 100%. The dog loses. The dog is so much faster. The sloth is really, really slow. Now, you can successfully grab a sloth from one place in his body, and that is right from the very scruff of his neck. There's one spot where he can't touch you. Now, what they have, a sloth has, there's some that are two-toed and some that are three-toed. Those are the most common ones. And they have more than just toes. They have these big, long, knife-like claws. And they are really, really sharp. Now, I had been told, I had never watched someone pick one up, but I had been told that you can successfully grab one from the scruff of the neck, pick it up, and it won't touch you. Well, so I grabbed that sloth, and I grabbed it. I picked it up from the scruff of the neck, and guess what happens? One of his arms start coming around like this, really fast like. When he got to about here, it was enough for me. It was just like, nope, I'm not going to see how much closer he comes. But that's as close as I came to figure out how close they get. I should have probably just held on, but those claws just did not seem too inviting at the moment. A brother in Costa Rica told me he has lost many, many dogs in the area where he is. They're surrounded by a lot of swamps and stuff. And when his dogs tangle with a sloth, pretty much it's done. Except he had one dog. He had a collie that killed multiple sloths and never got killed. See, usually when a dog goes in and grabs an animal, he goes in and grabs it and starts shaking around and stuff like that. That gives it enough time, gives the sloth enough time to come around and take his claws, and it literally just splits a dog wide open. Even though the dog is so much faster and has the teeth and stuff to kill a sloth, most of them lose. Except that one collie. Because the collie does something that a lot of other dogs do not do. A collie goes in, takes a bite and jumps back. Takes another bite and jumps back. It's the only dog that will successfully, a dog that does that is the only one who will successfully kill a sloth. Because they go in and let go. This morning, I want to talk about surrender. And surrender is sometimes the most heroic thing you can do. Habakkuk 2:20 says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." The Lord is in his holy temple. We're supposed to be silent so that we can listen. You know, that is surrender. When we get silent, when we start listening, that's when we can also hear his commands. That's when we can successfully do those things which he wants us to do. You know, as Christians, we are a part of what a lot of people consider an upside-down kingdom. We're part of an upside-down kingdom that actually is not upside-down. I think we as humans, in our expectations, are the ones that are upside-down. The kingdom of Christ is the only one that is the right side up. And yet it goes so counter to anything that we as humans think of. Galatians 2. Like for us to turn there. Verse 20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live, in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I am crucified with Christ. We hear a lot today about being a Christian, of people following God and stuff like that. We hear a lot less about surrender and about crucifixion. You know, back in the day, when they went out to be crucified, when they took up their cross and went out to be crucified, they did not expect to come back. That was it. If they had the chance, they told their friends and their family goodbye. This was it. I'm done. I am crucified with Christ. Then he says, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, that's the tension we feel while we are here in this flesh. I am crucified, and yet I live. Yet it's not me. It's Christ living in me. The old man is dead. It's when we relinquish control of our lives, that's when God's power can work. It's when I am crucified. That is when God then can successfully do with our lives what he would like to do. Yet God will not force any one of us to do what he wants us to do. That is our choice. It is up to us to decide if we are going to relinquish our rights, our things, and we're going to follow God, or we're going to do our thing. You know, the sad, yet I would say laughable condition of humanity is that we hold on to what is not ours or for our good. And we hold on to these things. You know, I picture a little child with a tattered little teddy bear, and it's maybe missing an ear, and the stuffing is coming out. And yet, here I am, holding this thing. This is mine. And the father asking, said, may I have that teddy bear? No, it's mine, it's mine. But I want to give you something better. No, it's mine. And what the child doesn't see is that the father has a nice, big teddy bear, brand new, that he'd love to give the child, but he can't give it to him. Because the tattered little one, missing the ear, is mine. You know, while we stingily hold on to our agendas and our things, God cannot accomplish his better plan in us and through us and with us. Yet God allows me that choice. God continues to allow me that choice. And I have watched people vow they will never do this or that, only to become what they hated. And I'm not talking I'm not talking about bad things. I'm talking about good things. I will not be a financial failure like my lazy parent. I will not become like my abusive father. I will not be like my controlling mother. I will be a loving parent. They could have surrendered. They could have surrendered, but they didn't. They could have done those things in God's strength instead of trying to do it on their own. The outcome would have been totally different. In Luke 22, Jesus teaches us something so beautiful about surrender. When he was facing the cross, when he was facing God's plan for the world, which includes us, but there specifically, it included him and his flesh and his blood, is what he said in verse 42. He said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Not my will, but thine be done. And remember, Jesus could have asked for a whole bunch of angels even to come and take him away from this situation. He said, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." And we go to great lengths to protect ourselves, to protect our reputations, to protect who we are, to all of these things, to protect our agendas, when Jesus did not. Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." The heroes in the kingdom of this world do not surrender. Think about the many stories. They did not surrender. You know, Davy Crockett died on March 6th of 1836, defending the Alamo in Texas. According to legend, at least, he drew a line in the sand and told his men, he stepped over the line, and he said, "Only those who are willing, if you men are willing to do this, step over the line with me." He died, and he became a hero because he did not surrender. Exactly 157 years ago, on March the 1st, Francisco Solano López, who was a dictator in Paraguay, died. He did not surrender. He became a hero in a battle that he lost. That war cut Paraguay's total population about right in half. They had about 550,000 people before the war. Cut it about in half. They estimate that of the male population, there were only, after the war was done, and that dictator was dead, there were about 28,000 of them left. Yet he became a hero. He did not surrender. And his claim to fame is that he supposedly ate the flag. instead of surrendering. Instead of having the flag captured, he ate it. He died with his stomach full of flag to prove that he would not surrender. You know, that's kingdom of the world. That's not our kingdom. That's not the kingdom of heaven. We are a part. If we are Christians, we are part of a kingdom that surrenders to our loving King. And I see many people push on, bullheaded, in a collision course with disaster because they cannot surrender. And they become heroes in their own rights. Heroes, if we put it in quotes. They could have surrendered. I see folks who are damaging their relationships. They're right. You know, they know what is best. And the other person is wrong. And sometimes they are right. And yet, they would have accomplished a lot more by surrendering. I see church leaders putting up walls to make their congregations safe. They could have surrendered. It would have been better for them. I see folks working hard and scheming how to get the next dollar. They should have surrendered. Not that they shouldn't have worked, but they should have surrendered even that. You know, so many casualties, so many heroes with stomachs full of flag when they should have surrendered. Romans 12. Starting to read in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, it's the living part of this sacrifice that hurts. That's the hard part. It's the living part is what hurts. In the last few days, I had been trying to clean up a section between our house and the road. There's a section of woods there. And I've been putting in a bunch of logs and old junk. I was out there, and there were times when that fire was just absolutely hot. And I thought about it. You know, what if I would stumble and fall into this fire? I wouldn't have lasted long. It wouldn't have taken long. The way that fire, as hot as it was, the way the coals were, it wouldn't have taken long. In the same way that some of those wet logs that I was putting on there went up in flames, it wouldn't have taken long for my body to do the same. And I got to thinking about this whole thing about sacrifice. And thinking about these verses. But the thing that would have been the worst was probably those few minutes between when I fell in and when I went unconscious. And see, that's the hard part of our life. We continue living. We continue here. And we have to every day make that decision. I am going to stay on the altar. I am going to continue staying there. As Jim Elliot famously said, the problem with living sacrifices is that they keep crawling off the altar. See, that's the problem. That's the hard part. But the living part is what makes it so important for us to continue surrendering daily to what God wants us to be. It's a daily active commitment to serve my King instead of myself. And we can't be a part of the kingdom of God unless we surrender. You know, when we surrender, we leave the oppressive kingdom of Satan with all his things, his gadgets, all the good things, right? Supposedly. We leave all that to actually have a fulfilled life in Christ. But the hard part, again, is that the flesh needs to die. We need to relinquish personal agendas, plans, desires, all to God's authority. But we can't do that unless we trust in God. Psalm 46. Verse 10 and 11 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. I'll take care of the things in this world. Be still. I can't take care of your problems. But you have to be still and listen. And then, like I mentioned before, that's the only time when we're actually ready to do God's will. You know, when we're still, when we recognize that He is over all, then we can also let go of the anxieties about the things that we can't control anyway. And 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Not just a few, all of them. But we have to give them to Him. We have to give our little tattered teddy bear. We have to give up our things so that He can give us better things. And when we do that, we can relax. Because see, after all, it's not my agenda. It's not me who has to perform. It's not me who has to do the things. Nevertheless, I live. Nevertheless, I'm alive and I'm working in a kingdom where God tells me, do this, Timo, do the other. Go this way, go that way. See, it's not just, okay, fine, God's got it. He can do His own thing and I'm just going to, you know, sit here. No. Because see, God has a plan for us. God has a better plan for us. It's just that now I don't have to be anxious about the plan. Because it's not me. It's not about me. It's about God. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Then in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. That would be another translation for it. Be anxious for nothing. And yet we find ourselves many times anxious about this, anxious about that, anxious about the other thing. It says, be anxious for nothing. He tells us what to do instead, which is prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Is that amazing? But Lord, I'm in such a horrible position right now, and things are just... You know what? I'm thankful that I'm awake. But I didn't want to get up at 5 o'clock this morning. But praise the Lord, I'm at least awake. You know, the sun's shining. Oh, it's still too cold. Be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Because see, God has a plan. We can thank Him, even though it looks like, wow, whew, quite the plan. And yet here we are. Because God does have a plan and a really good purpose, even though we can't see it. You know, when the father asks for that little teddy bear, the child doesn't see the replacement. And see, our problem is that our real replacement is not here. It's in heaven. So the things that we give up, the things that we have to give up while we're here, it looks like it's the worst decision we've ever made. But see, our goal is not here. And our replacement for what we give up is not here. It is in heaven, in eternity. And then when we do that, it tells us something very, very marvelous. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. All of it. We cannot understand the peace of God that comes when we totally surrender to Him. He says, Lord, here it is. It's yours. It's now I am ready to do what you want me to do. And you know, God has that kind of peace for each one of us. We can have that peace and that kind of resignation. Or we can die with a stomach full of flag. And that is our personal choice. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, again this morning, we thank you. And Jesus, we thank you for the way you surrendered to the Father's will to give us a hope in a future, to give us the only hope that we have today. And Lord, we thank you for your plan, even though we don't understand it. Even though we only see glimpses, but we thank you for the peace that passes all understanding as we trust in you and as we surrender to you and to your will. And Lord, again, we ask that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done here in earth, in each one of us, as it is done in heaven. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.